Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 588. Though I may speak with moving words, which can inspire the human heart, but have no love to seal their worth, they are but sham and empty art. Hymn number 588. Adherence of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. That's our sixth tenet. Tonight's topic is called inspiration, angels, Jacob, Zion, oil, and wine. These terms all give a better understanding of the Bible and are explained in science and health. I'll read from the Bible. Jeremiah. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Hosea, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil. Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of the heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Psalms. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Genesis. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Psalms. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. John. And the third day there was a marriage of Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Matthew. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Revelation. These things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which shortly must be done. Matthew. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. 1 Kings, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. In Christian Science, we learn that the substitution of the spiritual for the material definition of a scriptural word often elucidates the meaning of that inspired writer. On this account, this chapter is added. It contains the metaphysical interpretation of Bible terms, giving their spiritual sense, which is also their original meaning. Wine, inspiration, understanding. Zion, spiritual foundation and superstructure, inspiration. Experience should be the school of virtue, and human happiness should proceed from man's highest nature. May Christ's truth be present at every bridal altar to turn the water into wine, and to give human life an inspiration by which man's spiritual and eternal existence may be discerned. To gain Christian Science and its harmony, life should be more metaphysically regarded. Angels. God's thoughts passing to man. Spiritual intuitions, pure and perfect. The inspiration of goodness, purity, and immortality, counteracting all evil, sensuality, and mortality. Jacob. Inspiration. The revelation of science in which the so-called material senses yield to the spiritual sense of life and love. The result of Jacob's struggle thus appeared. He had conquered material error with the understanding of spirit and of spiritual power. This changed the man. He was no longer called Jacob, but Israel, a prince of God or a soldier of God who had fought a good fight. Oil. Consecration. Heavenly inspiration. The term Christ Jesus or Jesus the Christ, to give the full and proper translation of the Greek, may be rendered Jesus the Anointed, Jesus the God-crowned, or the divinely royal man, as it is said of him in the first chapter of Hebrews. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Through Christian Science, religion and medicine are inspired with the diviner nature and essence. Fresh pinions are given to faith and understanding, and thoughts acquaint themselves intelligently with God. The divine science taught in the original language of the Bible came through inspiration and needs inspiration to be understood. Hence the misapprehension of the spiritual meaning of the Bible and the misinterpretation of the word in some instances by uninspired writers who only wrote down what an inspired teacher had said. A misplaced word changes the sense and misstates the science of the scriptures. As, for instance, to name love as merely an attribute of God. But we can be special and proper, and we can, by special and proper capitalization, speak of the love of love. Meaning by that what the beloved disciple meant in one of his epistles when he said, God is love. Likewise, we can speak of the truth of truth and of the life of life. For Christ plainly declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The scriptures are very sacred. Our aim must be to have them understood spiritually, for only by this understanding can truth be gained. The true theory of the universe, including man, is not in material history, but in spiritual development. Inspired thought relinquishes a material, sensual, and mortal theory of the universe and adopts the spiritual and immortal. It is this spiritual perception of scripture which lifts humanity out of disease and death and inspires faith. Inspired writers interpret the word spiritually, while the ordinary historian interprets it literally. Literally taken, the text is made to appear contradictory in some places, and divine love, which blessed the earth and gave it to man for possession, is represented as changeable. The literal meaning would imply that God withheld from man the opportunity to reform, lest man should improve it and become better. But this is not the nature of God, who is love, always. Love, infinitely wise and altogether lovely, who seeketh not her own. Judaism was the antithesis of Christianity because Judaism engendered the limited form of a national or tribal religion. It was a finite and material system carried out in special theories concerning God, man, sanitary methods, and a religious cultus that he made himself equal with God was one of the Jewish accusations against him, who planted Christianity on the foundation of spirit, who taught as he was inspired by the Father and would recognize no life, intelligence, nor substance outside of God. A higher and more practical Christianity, demonstrating justice and meeting the needs of mortals in sickness and in health, stands at the door of this age, knocking for admission. According to the Bible, the facts of being are commonly misconstrued, for it is written, "They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots." The divine science of man is woven into one web of consistency without seam or rent. Mere speculation or superstition appropriates no part of the divine vestures, while inspiration restores every part of the Christly garment of righteousness. The divine spirit which identified Jesus thus centuries ago has spoken through the inspired word and will speak through it in every age and clime. It is revealed to the receptive heart and is again seen casting out evil and healing the sick. Like our Master, we must depart from material sense into the spiritual sense of being. The God-inspired walk calmly on, though it be with bleeding footprints, and in the hereafter they will reap what they now sow. The proofs of truth, life, and love which Jesus gave by casting out error and healing the sick completed his earthly mission. His purpose in healing was not alone to restore health, but to demonstrate his divine principle. He was inspired by God, by truth and love, in all that he said and did. Advancing to a higher plane of action, thought rises from the material sense to the spiritual, from the scholastic to the inspirational, and from the mortal to the immortal. Divine science does not put new wine into old bottles. soul into matter, nor the infinite into the finite. Our false views of matter perish as we grasp the facts of spirit. The old belief must be cast out, and the new idea will be spilled, and the inspiration, which is to change our standpoint, will be lost. Now, as of old, truth casts out evils and heals the sick. It is a question today whether the ancient inspired healers understood the science of Christian healing, or whether they caught its sweet tones as the natural musician catches the tones of harmony without being able to explain them. So divinely imbued were they with the spirit of science that the lack of the letter could not hinder their work. And that letter, without the spirit, would have made void their practice. Eloquence re-echoes the strains of truth and love, and it is due to inspiration rather than to erudition. The illuminations of science give us a sense of the nothingness of error, and they show the spiritual inspiration of love and truth to be the only fit preparation for admission to the presence and power of the Most High. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Let's sing our second hymn. That's hymn 470. Faith grasps the blessing she desires. Hope points the upward gaze. And love, celestial love, inspires the eloquence of praise. Hymn number 470. Thank you. I have been informed that we are now taping our recording our Wednesday testimony services, and you can access them online anytime at carmelcs.org. Carmelcs is all lowercase and one word, and then the .org. Also, I would like to let you know if there's anybody that would like to have a printed version of any of the Wednesday meetings, that I would be glad to send those to you. You just need, it's a full text of what I've read. If you would like that, you can email me at jeanbates.com, and I would be glad to send you the written form of the lesson. And Shirley has the microphone. If you feel more comfortable in your sharing this evening, staying seated, please feel free to do that. But you're now invited to share any thoughts or remarks or healings that you might have for the evening. It's now your turn.
I was surprised. I found the readings at several points quite emotional. I actually went over the hill that way, and what made it emotional was to have such a wonderful presentation of what Christian Science really is and how it's really so different than how so many religions think about religion, and how it was thought so differently by the Pharisees and the other people that represented the thought to their people. And I'm just so grateful for Christian Science, because it's so obvious that it's getting its students to approach the Bible in what really is a sensible way, and it's the complete following of Jesus, and that's why it brings about all these healings. So I really enjoyed, even though I got a little worked up, I really enjoyed the readings.
Thank you. I want to mention that what got me thinking along the line of this lesson was Kathy Merrill, who I listen to every week, that explains the weekly Bible lesson and how she takes the inspired word and what these words really mean. And when you take like the word angels and Jacob and Zion and oil and wine and all the scriptures, and you just insert the word like inspire or inspiration, it totally gives a completely understanding and a different and a deeper meaning of what that passage is really saying. And so I'm very grateful for her pointing me into a new direction, because I'd never really studied it in depth in the way of where you're taking words that will, because of their Greek origin or their whatever the other one is, what origin of the word of the Bible, and putting them into this really meaningful interpretation of what the passage is really, really mean. So if anybody wants that information, again, Kathy Merrill's information, because you do have to sign up to listen, she is fantastic, and I really appreciate what she's done for me.
I think this experience that I had ties in with the lesson about inspiration. It's elementary, but significant to me. A type of juice that I buy, the manufacturer put a new lid on. And when I got home and tried to take the lid off, I couldn't begin to get it off. Just worked at it and put it in the refrigerator. And meanwhile, I was praying for a sense of healing for another, and awakened in the middle of the night, and was just focusing on the thought of God's strength. And the angel thought came to me that God, give me an element of understanding that strength is everywhere because you're ever present. And with that, I got up out of bed and went downstairs and got the juice bottle out. And I worked probably at least 20 minutes or a little longer. Couldn't get the lid off. But the focus had been, I was looking for a sign that God's strength was everywhere. And I turned around to open the refrigerator, and the lid fell off. That to me was a Moses experience, and an affirmation that God's omnipotent strength is everywhere. And it was to me a significantly inspiring situation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the readings tonight. I was remembering a phone conversation I had this past week with a friend of mine with whom I grew up in Greenfield, and her grandmother picked us up, my mom and me, took us to Sunday school and to church in at Fourth Church for a while before Greenfield got their own society. And my friend attended when her grandmother took us, but as when her grandmother wasn't able to do that, she stopped going. But we remained close for many, many years. And about 4 years ago, her brother was killed in an automobile accident. And she told me, we'd not talked to each other for a while, and she told me that about 3 years ago, she was down in Texas doing some things, selling the home and everything, and she was herself in a very scary automobile accident. And she told me that she, for a long time, couldn't figure out why this happened, if something to do with their brother, and I was very relieved that I was able to give her some calming thoughts to think about, the fact that she, I don't really say remember, but I felt peaceful that I could remind her that, you know, there was no reason for her, that God was protecting her, and that she was always under God's care. And so we had a really nice conversation after that. And I was glad that I was able to share that with her, things that I knew she knew, but, you know, she had been, her thinking, I think, was beginning to come around, and she was looking at things in a more positive way. So I was glad for those thoughts that, those angel messages that came to me to share with her. I just, in that first, the words of that first hymn, I just think that's a beautiful hymn. I just love that hymn. Thank you for picking that one. Thank you again for the readings.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to say something again since nobody's saying anything. I want to share my gratitude for, I guess, technology, but it's not really that. It's the last time that we came back from Texas, and we had, I've got a 3-year-old granddaughter, and of course a 1-year-old granddaughter, her sister, and I always feel a little sad when I have to leave them because I know it's going to be a long time before I see them again. And I'm thinking as we're driving back about how probably sometime in the future there's going to be instant transportation of, you know, like they used to do in Star Trek, where you could deport yourself and be there. And I was thinking of that one of these days that'll happen. But, and I thought, you know, I just really need to not, let the sadness, or the feeling of loss or the feeling of separation, that I needed to work on that, that there is no separation and, that there is always, God's presence, and that's what is comforting. That's what we all are living in, is this idea of love. And I was home about 2 or 3 days, and I get this FaceTime from Ellie Margaret Bates, who was 3-year-old, and I thought, what is this, that she has her own little iPad? And evidently her mother got an iPad, and they gave the mother's iPad to Ellie. And she was calling me, and we talked for a little bit. And of course, 3-year-old, it's a very limited conversation. And I thought, well, what can I do, you know, to keep her engaged? And the inspiration came to play with her. So, first of all, I just said, you want to go see the toys you played with when you visited Grandma? And she said, yes. And so we went up to the bonus room, and I got out a few of them, and I just showed them to her. Well, then the next call, I got the idea to actually get them out and play with them. So now my room is full of these, all the toys that she played with that I had from my other grandkids. But what is so neat is that she wants to call every day. And I crawl around on the floor moving all these little creatures, little dolls and everything, playhouse. And it's just the idea that I'm never separated from her manifested itself just so naturally and lovingly. And I just was so grateful. And the mother said to me, Holly said to me, she said, I hope you're not, because she wants to call every day. She said, I hope we're not bugging you. And it's a good half hour play time. This gives Holly a break. And I said, I really don't. I said, it was actually an answered prayer. On the way home, I told her that I had prayed about knowing the truth about there being a separation, and that love is always there. And it is. And I'm not going to miss one little thing if she keeps calling every day. I'm not going to miss one moment. And of course, she shows me her sister very reluctantly a minute, and then it's back to what she wants to do. But it really is. I've been very grateful for that working out of, and I know it was answered prayer. Just absolutely know that that's what happened. So I'm very grateful. Let's conclude our service by singing the last hymn. I'm going to read the last verse. Come, O fount of inspiration, turn our lives to higher ways. Lift our gloom and desperation. Show the promise of this day. Help us bind ourselves in union. Help our hands tell of our love. With your grace, O fount of justice, earth be fair as heaven above. Hymn number 460.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.